नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 1। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द अट्रासिटीज ऑफ किंग कंस। श्री शुक उवाच बहिर अंतपुरद्वार सर्वा पूर्ववदावृता ततो बालध्वनिं श्रुत्वा गृहपाला समुत्थिता। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King Parikshit, the doors inside and outside the house closed as before. Thereafter, the inhabitants of the house, especially the watchmen, heard the crying of the newborn child and thus awakened from their beds." Purport: The activities of Yoga Maya are distinctly visible in this chapter, in which Devaki and Vasudev excuse Kamsa for his many devious atrocious activities, and Kamsa becomes repentant and falls at their feet. Before the awakening of the watchman and the others in the prison house, many other things happened. Krishna was born and transferred to the home of Yashoda in Gokul. The strong doors opened and again closed, and Vasudev resumed his former condition of being shackled. The watchmen, however, could not understand all this. They awakened only when they heard the crying of the newborn child Yogamaya. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has remarked that the watchmen were just like dogs. At night, the dogs in the street act like watchmen. If one dog barks, many other dogs immediately follow it by barking. Although the street dogs are not appointed by anyone to act as watchmen, they think they are responsible for protecting the neighborhood. And as soon as someone unknown enters it, they all begin to bark. Both Yogamaya and Mahamaya act in all material activities. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karvani sarvashah. But although the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead acts under the Supreme Lord's direction, mayadhyakshena prakrithi suyatesa characharam, dog-like watchmen such as politicians and diplomats think that they are protecting their neighborhoods from the dangers of the outside world. These are the actions of Maya. But one who surrenders to Krishna is relieved of the protection afforded by the dogs and dog-like guardians of this material world. So I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees for trying to speak on this particular verse. So today we are beginning a new chapter, the fourth chapter, which is entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa. So Shukadeva Goswami is narrating in this verse that after Vasudev took Krishna to Nanda Gokul and delivered Krishna besides Yashoda, and then Vasudev brought Yogamaya, who was born to Yashoda and Nanda, and then he brought it to the prison house. And as soon as Vasudev actually entered the prison house and brought the baby, all the doors of the prison house, they closed as before. And afterwards, the inhabitants of the prison house, the different watchmen, were actually guarding the prison house. They actually woke up. They were actually fast asleep when actually when the whole thing took place, because by the influence of Yogamaya, she actually put all the watchmen who were guarding the prisons, she put them into complete deep sleep. So now, when the baby started crying, now the watchmen, they got up, and then they were thinking that somebody has entered the prison house, and they understood that the Devaki has given birth to the 8th child. Then they are now going to report to Kamsa about the birth of the 8th child. So I just want to focus on two particular points which Srila Prabhupada focused in this purport, especially one point. But before that, the Srila Prabhupada begins the purport by telling about the one of the events which is being narrated in this particular chapter. So he is giving a brief summary of the whole chapter in the first few lines. Srila Prabhupada says that in this chapter, Devaki and Vasudev excuse Kamsa for his many devious, atrocious activities, and Kamsa becomes repentant and falls at their feet. So this is a very actually important point, because we see that Kamsa was so cruel to Devaki and Vasudev that Kamsa was about to kill her own sister, who was just newly married, when he heard that sound from the sky. And after that, Kamsa killed all the six children of Devaki immediately after their birth. Kamsa was so cruel, but still Devaki and Vasudev excused Kamsa for his many devious, atrocious activities. So it's actually, it's like very difficult in the sense. It is easy to develop some new habits in terms of, like, suppose, like we were having certain habits before, like, for example, we're using certain, say, toothpaste, or we're used to drinking tea or coffee, and to change the habit is easy when you have another alternative. It is easy, but then it is actually very difficult to train the emotions. It is easy to train our habits in the form of, like, suppose somebody was using a toothpaste, maybe after habit he can start using some dantmanjan. It is easy to develop that habit, but then it is like difficult to train the emotions, especially when somebody, like, speaks something against her, when somebody does something, criticizes her, somebody like beats us, or somebody's envious of us. Like, to train the emotions such a way that, like, to always be concerned about their welfare, it is like very difficult. That is why it is said habits, emotions are like the tail of a dog. Like tail of a dog, if you try to straighten the tail of a dog, it's like completely impossible. You just straighten it, and immediately the next second, again it goes back. So we start thinking about good about a particular person who spoke something against us, but then we immediately see within few seconds our mind goes on thinking wrong about that person. Like very difficult. But actually Krishna says in the 12th chapter of the Gita, when he talks about the qualities of the devotees, he says, Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karuna Yevacha Nirmamo Nirahankara Samadukka Sukakshami. He says, Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam. My devotee does not hate any living entity. Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam. And Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the purport, he makes it even more explicit, because it is like a general statement. My devotee does not hate any living entity, but Vishnu Chakravarti says a devotee does not hate even a person who hates him. It's like most difficult to not to hate a person who hates us. So he is making that explicitly clear. He is making that statement in more particularly emphasizing that a devotee does not hate even a person who hates him. And he further goes on to say that not hating a person who hates us, that is like a neutral stage. Just not to hate him. But Advesta Sarvabhutana Maitra, but a devotee is, he not only simply not hates that person, but he is actually a friend to such a person. So like even goes on the positive side, he is simply does not hate him, but he is actually a friend to such a person. And then he goes even more further. Maitra Karuna Evacha. Not only is a friend to such a person, he is actually merciful to such a person. He is thinking that a devotee thinks that they should not actually end up in unfortunate circumstances. He thinks about those people who hate him and thinks that, oh, they should not end up in such unfortunate circumstances. And then he says, then Vishnu Chakra Thakur poses a question that how is it possible? How can a person have such kind of discrimination? By what type of discriminative power can one have friendliness and mercy even towards those people who hate him? And we think it is completely impossible. How is it possible for a person to have such kind of discriminative power? Then he says that, that's why the next line of the verse is, Nirmamo Nirahankara. Nirmamo means, a devotee is free of possessiveness. And Nirahankara means, a devotee is free of the misconception of identifying himself with the body. So there are basically two things which bind a person to the material world, the conception of me and mine. To think oneself to be the body, and then to have the feeling of possessiveness of things related to the body. Oh, this is my house, this is my wife, this is my children, this is my belongings, like that. So Krishna Chakotako says that because a devotee is freed from this conception of me and mine, Nirahankara, Nirmamo Nirahankara, because he does not think anything to be belonging to himself, and because he does not identify himself with the body, because of that, he is actually able to develop this feeling that he does not even hate a person who hates him. On the other hand, he is a friend to such a person, and more than that, he is merciful to such a person, thinking about the welfare of such a person. But actually, like at least for myself, we can just simply talk about these qualities, but it is like, in a practical level, like when we are face to face the reality, like many times like so many negative emotions about different personalities come. But one of the hope-giving statement is that at the end of this 12th chapter, in the last verse of the 12th chapter, Krishna says, Yetu dharma mritam idam yatoktam paryupasate shraddha dana mat parama bhaktaste ativa me priyaha. So there, again Shri Vishnu Chakra Thakur is writing in the purport. He says that in this verse, Krishna is telling the result of hearing and deliberating on these qualities by devotees who are desirous of obtaining all these qualities. In other words, he is saying that even a person who simply hears about these qualities and who simply deliberates on these qualities and who desires to develop all these qualities, even such a person is actually dear to Krishna. Like this is a hope-giving statement that although we may not have these qualities, but at least if we simply meditate on these qualities and we simply desire to develop these qualities, that then Krishna actually shows his mercy upon him, that one becomes dear to the Lord. Like in one class, Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning that just like there is like identity card, if a person is like working in a company, so he is identified by his identity card. Somebody enters the company, then they want to know like whether this person is actually working in the company or not. They will want to know the identity card. So if a person is studying in a college, or if he's entering some confidential lab or this thing, then he's asked for an identity card. So similarly, he was mentioning the identity. How do we identify who is a Vaishnava? He said the identity card, or the we can identify a person as a Vaishnava when we actually see this quality of forgiveness in that person. So forgiveness is that quality by which we can actually identify a Vaishnava. So here it is mentioned that Kamsa and Vasudev, they actually forgave Kamsa who performed so much atrocities towards them. So this is, I thought this, because Prabhupada is just giving the summary of the chapter by telling the important incident which happened. So I thought I will just speak on this point. So then the next paragraph, Prabhupada writes about this watchman who are actually guarding the prison house. He is saying that the watchmen who are guarding the prison house, they are like dogs. Just like dogs, like sometimes when other people enter their territory, they think, they start barking, thinking that some stranger has entered their territory. So that is the like nature of dog. They think that this watchmen were thinking that they are protecting the prison house, completely unaware of the events which happened in the night. And suddenly when they woke up, when they heard the crying of the newborn child, so they thought that, oh, somebody, some stranger has entered the prison house. And then they realized that, oh, Devaki has given birth to the eighth child. So this is actually a, so this conception of being the doer, the watchmen were thinking that they are actually guarding the prison house, but completely unaware of the activities which happened, the different events which happened under the influence of Yogamaya. That's why Krishna says, Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasha Ahankara Vimudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. That a bewildered spirit soul thinks himself to be the doer, whereas the activities are carried out by the material energy. So Krishna says in the 18th chapter of the Gita, he says that there are five factors of action. Adishtanam tata karta, karanam cha pritak vida, vividas chaiva pritak cheshta, daivam chaivatra panchamam. Krishna says that there are five factors of action. Adishtanam, the body, karta, the false ego, karanam, adishtanam tata karta, karanam cha, the different senses, and vividascha pritak cheshta, the life years, and daivam, the super soul. So any activity is performed by these five factors of action. The body, the false ego, the senses, the life years, and the super soul. And then in the next verse he says, Shariram va manobiryat karma prarabhate naraha, Nyayam va viparitam va panchayite tasya hetava. He further emphasizes the same point by saying, whatever actions which are performed with one's body, mind or words, whether it is dharmic activity or adharmic activity, Nyayam va viparitam va, all the actions are actually caused by these five factors of action. Panchayite tasya hetava. And then in the next verse he says, what when a person thinks himself to be the doer without considering these five factors of action, what is the nature of such a person? He says, Tatraivam sati kartaram atmanam kevalam tuyaha pashyat akrita buddhitvan nasa pashyati durmatihi. But on the other hand, when a person thinks himself to be the doer without considering these five factors of action, Krishna says that he is actually a akrita buddhitvan. He is actually a fool because he is having impure intelligence. Such a person is a fool because of impure intelligence. And pashyati akrita buddhitva nasa pashyati durmati. Although he sees himself to be the doer of activities, but he actually does not see. That means he is actually a blind person. That's what Krishna is saying. He sees himself to be the doer, but he is actually nasa pashyati. He is actually a blind person. So he is a fool and he is a blind man. So this is an important point. But sometimes one may think that this concept of, okay, one should not think oneself to be the doer. But then one may go to the other extreme and not perform any activity. And it may appear to be detachment. Like once, I think 60s and 70s, like devotees were arranging for Ratayatra. That time, like they made the Ratayatra cart, but then the crucial moment, the Ratayatra cart fell down. So the devotees told Srila Prabhupada that it is actually Krishna's arrangement. Ratayatra cart fell down. So Prabhupada said, actually, it's not Krishna's arrangement, it is actually your mismanagement. Our devotees were saying that, like, then Gurudas Prabhu was saying that, actually, because we are not pure devotees, we are lacking pure devotion, so that is why the Ratayatra cart fell down. So Prabhupada said, it is not because of you're lacking pure devotion, it is because of poor engineering skills the Ratayatra cart fell down. So basically, the point is, like, sometimes one may appear to be detached, but actually it may not be detached, it is actually one may be irresponsible. Like, there's a difference between being detached and irresponsible. A person, after doing the particular service, after doing the activity with full capacity, if the results go in the opposite direction, then one has to be detached. If the results do not come according to an expectation, then one has to be detached. But if before carrying out the service with one's best capacity, if a person is detached, it is actually not detached, it is actually, he is actually irresponsible. So that is the difference between being detached and being irresponsible. So like even if you see the 10th canto, first chapter, when Kamsa was about to kill Devaki, Vasudev tried to spoke the whole, like, he gave a like crash course of Gita course in few verses. He told him how he should not. He spoke the philosophy of Gita, like how everything is, every person who is takes birth is definitely has to face death. And if you actually commit the sinful activity, even if you kill Devaki, anyway you have to die. And furthermore, you are actually going to, like, increase your karma. We may continue to live, but then after death you will have to suffer sinful activities. So he spoke about destiny, how everything is destined. But then Vasudeva could have thought to himself, oh, if Devaki is destined to be killed by Kamsa, he could apply the same philosophy to himself. If Devaki is destined to be killed by Kamsa, so why should I actually try to protect Devaki? So let me keep quiet. So he could have applied the same philosophy to him, himself also. But actually he didn't apply that. So basically the philosophy of destiny should not make a person to avoid, avoid one's duty. So Kamsa, after he heard that voice, he was actually avoiding his duty of protecting her daughter. In fact, he was going to kill, he was protecting her sister. In fact, he was going to kill her sister. But Vasudev, although he knew the philosophy, but he actually wanted to do his duty of protecting her newly wedded wife. So that is why there is a difference between being detached and irresponsible. So let us see some examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam of, like, different devotees who exhibited this quality, who never had this conception of themselves being the doer. There's one particular example about King Uttanupad, which comes in the 4th canto. Of course, in the beginning, Uttanupad, when Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his stepmother Suruchi, so Uttanupad did not speak anything because Uttanupad was attached to his wife Suruchi. But actually, Uttanupad was a great devotee. His actually qualities, we see his wonderful qualities later in the 4th canto, later in the same chapter, in the next chapter. In fact, one quality which he exhibited, like when Uttanupad, when Dhruva Maharaj leaves home and went to the kingdom, went to the forest, so then Uttanupad starts repenting like anything. That his 5-year-old son has actually went to the forest. And forest means like deep forest filled with ferocious animals. So he was thinking that, oh, I am the cause of my son going to the forest. But then later, of course, the story goes and Narada Muni instructs Dhruva Maharaj. And then Narada Muni, after instructing Dhruva Maharaj on the process of devotional service, then Narada Muni comes to the palace of Uttanupad. At that time, he sees that Uttanupad is repenting like anything. And then Narada Muni pacifies Uttanupad that your son will definitely be protected by the Supreme Lord because he is engaged in the most difficult task of pleasing the Supreme Lord. Then, then actually, then of course, it's explained that how Dhruva Maharaj performed austerities, and then he actually, Lord Vishnu appears to Dhruva Maharaj. And then Dhruva Maharaj offers wonderful prayers. After offering wonderful prayers, then Lord Vishnu gives him benediction. Then Dhruva Maharaj returns to the kingdom. And then Dhruva Maharaj starts returning to the kingdom. The messengers of Uttanupad, they come and give this news to Uttanupad that Dhruva Maharaj is actually, your son is returning to the kingdom. So that time Uttanupad, when he hears that news, he's actually completely surprised. He could not believe those words. So Prabhupada explains two reasons why Uttanupad could not believe those words of messenger. The first reason he says is that Uttanupad, he was thinking that he, when he heard that news, it appeared to him like a dead man coming alive. When you know that a person is dead, and then when you hear that the person has come alive, so you may be like, maybe afraid, maybe is he a ghost or something? Like, maybe, yeah. Because you never believe, when you know that a person is dead and then if he is coming alive, you'll never believe those words. Because Uttanupad, he thought that Dhruva Maharaj is dead. Because, like, a 5-year-old boy going to the forest filled with ferocious animals, that means it is like a sure shot death for the boy. So he assumed that his son is dead. But when he heard the news that Dhruva Maharaj is coming back to the kingdom, so he thought it is like a dead man coming alive. So that is why he could not believe that words. But the second reason why Uttanupad could not believe those words is, so Uttanupad was thinking that actually I am such a sinful person that because of my attachment to my wife, that I am the cause of my son going to the forest. So I am such a sinful person that how can such a sinful person get the fortune of again getting back his son? So that is why he was surprised. So we have this topic in the Gita course that why do bad things happen to good people? So usually always the topic is like, why do bad things happen to good people? Because this topic is like more appealing to the people, because people think that, oh, we are good people. So when bad things happen, so they are like puzzled. But actually, we never like have that topic like, why do good things happen to bad people? Because like nobody considers himself to be like bad. But Uttanupad was a person, he was thinking that I am such a bad man, I am such a sinful person, that how can I actually attain the fortune of again getting back my son? So that was actually Uttanupad's consciousness. So that is why he was surprised that. But moreover, the point which is like related to this particular purport, which that quality is exhibited in Uttanupad, the next chapter. So later, in that chapter, of course, Dhruva Maharaj comes back to the kingdom and Uttanupad. Then he actually enthrones Dhruva Maharaj as the king after consulting the ministers, the opinion of the citizens, etc. So then, the fourth canto, I think, the 10th chapter, begins with the verse in which it is explained that Uttanupad then retired from his kingdom and then he goes to the forest in order to practice devotional service, in order to take complete shelter of the Lord. So there Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Actually, Uttanupad, he actually enthroned the king. He put Dhruva Maharaj as the king, enthroned him as the emperor of the whole planet. And before even arranging for the marriage of Dhruva Maharaj, he actually retired and then went to the forest. Actually, like in the Prabhupada Lilamrit we read, like Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that once his Prabhupada's mother told Prabhupada's father that if you don't marry your daughter, I will go to Ganges and commit suicide. That time Prabhupada's sister was just in the teenage, in the very young age. So, like, Prabhupada's mother was concerned that she should be married immediately. So basically the point is, like, even 100 years back, 50 years back, like, this particular responsibility of arranging for the marriage of the sons and daughters is considered, is one of the important responsibility of the parents, to arrange for the marriage of their sons and daughters. But Uttanupad, like, if that is considered such a high responsibility, even in Kali Yuga, just few decades back, what to speak of in Satya Yuga, where people were much more pious, they were much more conscious of the religious principles, that they must be valuing this responsibility very highly. So Uttanupad was such a pious king, but before even discharging the responsibility of arranging for the marriage of Dhruva Maharaj, he actually retired to the forest. Of course, like, we can take different lessons from this, but one particular lesson which is relevant to this particular purport is that Uttanupad, he did not consider himself to be the doer. Like, when a person is attached to himself to being the doer, then a person goes on, but then one keeps on postponing. When a person does not fail to recognize that actually Krishna is the doer, then, like, one continues to be entangled, and then sometimes one may get entangled in the material efforts and then forget Krishna. Because we can't literally imitate Uttanupad, but basically the principle, we can see this quality that Uttanupad did not consider himself to be the doer, that even before discharging his responsibility of arranging for the marriage of Dhruva Maharaj, he actually retired to the kingdom. So that is the principle has to be taken. Of course, another lesson, because since I am speaking about this point, another lesson is, like, Uttanupad, why he retired is because he felt the urgency to practice Krishna consciousness. Because he felt the urgency to practice Krishna consciousness, that even before discharging one of the important responsibilities, he actually went to the forest. So this urgency, like Srila Prabhupada writes in the 3rd chapter, 41st verse in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that the lust is actually perverted reflection of lust. Lust is the perverted reflection of love of Godhead. And he says, when the love of Godhead deteriorates into lust, then it is actually very difficult to again convert lust into love. And then he says, but nevertheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. Then he makes the point, so from any stage of life, or from the time of understanding the urgency of practicing Krishna consciousness, one can actually begin regulating the senses, one can begin practicing devotional service and actually attain perfection. So Prabhupada is making the point that once love of God deteriorates into lust, it is actually very difficult to revert lust into love. But still, from any stage of life, or from the point when a person understands the urgency to practice Krishna consciousness, still one can actually again convert the lust into love. So Uttanupad, he actually was considering the urgency to practice Krishna consciousness. So because of that, he left the kingdom and went to the forest. And of course, the third point in relation to Uttanupad in this particular incident is the priorities. So So what is of prayer, what is of topmost priority? The need of the body or the need of the soul? The needs of the soul always actually take precedence over the needs of the body. So definitely it was a priority, it was a duty of Uttanapar to arrange for the marriage of Dhruva Maharaj. But he felt the need of the soul so deep in his heart that he actually went to the forest. So of course, this particular point, how Uttanapar, because he did not consider himself to be the doer, just related to this particular purport, that he actually went to the forest. So then another example, the opposite example, like we see again in the fourth canto about King Vena. So King Vena, when he was actually enthroned by the Brahmanas and sages to be the emperor, so King Vena, he started ruling the kingdom, but then he stopped the performance of all the sacrifices. So then, all the sages were very much concerned about this activities of King Vena. So then the sages come to King Vena and they start advising King Vena that what is the duty of a king, that he should actually arrange for the he should actually perform all the sacrifices for the benefit of the citizens. He should perform all sacrifices to the demigods. He should worship the Supreme Lord. He should engage all the citizens in their occupational duties and make sure that they worship the Supreme Lord by their discharge of occupational duties. The sages advise the King Vena in this way. But then when Vena hears their advice, the Vena starts speaking to the sages. So Vena says that actually, you people are like an unchaste woman. Just like an unchaste wife is attached to some other husband, you are actually attached to some other people. A husband is maintaining the wife. When the wife is, instead of being attached to the maintainer of the husband, when he is attached to somebody else, such a wife is considered to be unchaste. So similarly, Vena is saying that I am actually maintaining all of you, but instead of worshipping me, you are telling me to worship the demigods. You are like an unchaste wife, like that he's saying. And then he's saying a very interesting verse. He says, avajananti ami muda nripa rupina meeshwaram nanu vindanti te badram iha loka paratracha. He's saying, avajananti ami muda. You are all actually fools. Because you do not consider, actually king is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of worshipping me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you want to worship somebody else. So because of that, nanu vindanti te badram iha loka paratracha. Because of that, you will not get happiness in this life and you will not get happiness in the next life. Like, this is a verse which is completely opposite to the verse spoken by Krishna. Avajananti maam muda manushim tanumashritam. Like, this verse spoken by Krishna is like very interesting. Like, Prabhupada quotes this verse in an interesting way in the 10th canto, 1st chapter. When Lord Brahma, along with the demigods, when they go to the shore of the milk ocean, and then they start praying to Lord Brahma, starts praying to the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So then Lord Vishnu speaks to Lord Brahma from within, and then he tells Lord Brahma that very soon I am going to appear and all of you demigods should assist me in my pastimes. Then Lord Brahma conveys this message to the demigods. So there Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually Lord Vishnu is invisible even to Lord Brahma. So that Lord Brahma could only hear the words of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu was invisible even to Lord Brahma. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of Vishnu, he actually appears and performs pastimes and he makes himself visible even to the common people. But that Krishna is invisible even to Lord Brahma. They could only hear the words, voice of Lord Vishnu. But Krishna, with the source of Lord Vishnu, he makes himself visible even to the common man. So then, he says, that is why when Krishna says, when people consider him to be, when Krishna performs such wonderful passion, when people consider him to be ordinary human being, Krishna says such people are fools. When Krishna is like out of his causeless mercy, when he makes himself available even to common man, but he does not make himself available even to the demigods, when such common man consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being, so definitely, like, it is nothing wrong on the part of Krishna to say that, oh, such people are fools. Fools deride me. So here, Vena is speaking the complete opposite verse. He is saying that he is considering himself to be the Supreme Lord. He is considering himself to be the Lord. And he is saying, because you are not considering me to be the Lord, I am the maintainer. And because of that, you are all fools. So this is like the height of considering himself to be the maintainer and doer. So that's why, like, people fight over, like, land. They think himself to be the possessor. There is fight over different lands. Or the fight goes on over, like, water between different rivers. So this river belongs to our state. Or another state says that this river belongs to their state. And when now there is fight over airspace. Oh, this is airspace which belongs to India. This is airspace which belongs to Pakistan, like that. Or somebody may say, now there is fight over even imaginary space. So this frequency belongs to me. Or this bandwidth. So this is like this watchman are thinking like that. Oh, we are actually the protector. Oh, somebody stranger has entered. And there is another devotee like who exhibit this quality. This is a very beautiful verse in the fifth canto when Shukadev Goswami describes the descendants of Maharaj Priyavrat. In the 15th chapter, he describes about one particular king called Maharaj Gaya. So he says, this Maharaj Gaya, he says that he is the leader among gentlemen and he is the servant of the devotees. He has such wonderful qualities that Mother Earth was attracted by the qualities of Maharaj Gaya, that Mother Earth produced all the necessities, profusely supplied all the necessities. So it is explained that Mother Earth was like a cow. So like when does a cow give milk? When the cow sees the calf, then the cow gives the milk. So Mother Earth, by being attracted by the qualities of Maharaj Gaya, were compared to the calf. By seeing those qualities, Mother Earth was so much attracted, she actually profusely supplied all the necessities. But then Maharaj Gaya, he did not actually personally have any desire. Maharaj Gaya, he actually used all the necessities supplied by Mother Earth in order to satisfy the desires of the citizens. So this is a very, because I was very inspired by this, because the citizens, like many times, like in Krishna consciousness, like we get like so many facilities, so many opulences, material opulence or spiritual opulence, material opulence in the form of different material facilities, spiritual opulence in the form of like association of different devotees and morning program and so many things, wonderful temple, spiritual opulence. But actually, all those opulences are coming because of the purity of few great souls, because of the purity of few pure followers of Srila Prabhupada and their followers. Because of that, those opulences are coming. But they actually do not have any desire, and they actually utilize those opulences in order to satisfy the desires of all their dependents. So that actually, because of the qualities of Maharaj Gaya, Mother Earth produced so many necessities. But the citizens, because they were connected to Maharaj Gaya, they actually they actually enjoyed all those opulences. Maharaj Gaya used those opulences to fulfill the desires of all their dependents, all the citizens. So when a person thinks himself as the doer, because of that, he is actually qualified to enjoy a particular facility or privilege, and then sometimes when that privilege or facility is taken away, so then one actually becomes, one will become disturbed or one may show anger. But when a person does not forget that it's actually because of the purity of the great souls or the spiritual master, because of that we are enjoying the opulences, so then even when the opulences are taken away, one will not be disturbed, because in the first case we never deserved this. We were never qualified for it. And finally, I'll just complete this particular verse, that it's about Prithu Maharaj. Like it's explained about Prithu Maharaj in the fourth canto. Actually, this particular chapter, Lord Vishnu's appearance as sacrificial arena, Prithu Maharaj. Like Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning, actually Prithu Maharaj, he did not complete the 100th Ashwamedha sacrifice. He stopped performing the 100th Ashwamedha sacrifice. So usually, Lord Vishnu would appear when the person would complete the sacrifice. But then, although Prithu Maharaj did not complete the 100th sacrifice, still Lord Vishnu appeared. Why did Lord Vishnu appear, although Prithu Maharaj did not complete the Ashwamedha Yajna? So he mentioned in a class, he actually performed a greater Yajna. He performed the Yajna of cooperation. So because of that, that Yajna of cooperation is higher than the performing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. Because of that, Lord Vishnu actually appeared in the sacrificial arena of Prithu Maharaj. So then, Prithu Maharaj, then Lord Vishnu becomes so captivated by the qualities of Prithu Maharaj, then Lord Vishnu tells at the end of his instruction to Prithu Maharaj, Lord Vishnu tells to Prithu Maharaj that very soon, perfect, you will get the association of perfected devotees. You will get the association of pure devotees. Like getting the association of devotees is greater than the association of the Lord. Because after getting the association of Lord Vishnu, he is getting the association of pure devotees. He is saying that you will very soon you will get the association of perfected souls. So then few chapters later, this chapter is like Prithu Maharaj meeting with the four Kumaras. That because of the, according to the prophecy of Lord Vishnu, the four Kumaras, they come to give their association to Prithu Maharaj. So then Prithu Maharaj wonderfully receives the four Kumaras. Then the four Kumaras, he actually asks the four Kumaras to enlighten him in the process of devotional service. And then the four Kumaras, they actually enlighten Prithu Maharaj in devotional service. And then the four Kumaras, they are about to take leave. Then after four Kumaras enlighten Prithu Maharaj, then Prithu Maharaj profusely expresses his gratitude to the four Kumaras. Well, there are many verses she wanted to speak. I'll not speak those verses. But one particular point which I want to highlight, that Prithu Maharaj expresses his gratitude to the four Kumaras. Then at the end, Maitreya Rishi, he says one particular verse. He says that the four Kumaras, being satisfied with the worship and respect given by the Prithu Maharaj, then they fly in the outer space, then they go back to their own abodes. So there Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that the four, there are many personalities like demigods, the people from the higher planetary system, they have a certain mystic power. They have the mystic power of flying in the sky. People from the heaven planet Lord Siddha Loka, they have the mystic power of like flying in the sky. They have got different mystic powers. So these four Kumaras, they were all perfected souls, and they can actually fly in the sky, and they can usually, and such people, perfected souls, they are not visible to the common human beings. They are not visible to the common people in general. So similarly, the four Kumaras, they are not visible to the common people. But the four Kumaras, they appeared in the kingdom of Prithu Maharaj only because of the words spoken by Lord Vishnu. That is why they actually gave their association to Prithu Maharaj. But then Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying, but even the common citizens, He says that by the mercy of Prithu Maharaj, but even the common citizens were actually able to see the four Kumaras, who are not usually visible to the common people. And they could also hear the words spoken by the four Kumaras. So this is actually our situation, because at least I want to think in that way. Like many times, like because of the mercy of the pure followers of Srila Prabhupada, like we get so much of opportunity like to worship the deities or perform so many services. But actually, we were never qualified for that place. We were never qualified for that. Just like the common citizens, they were never qualified to see the four Kumaras. But because of their connection, the Prithu Maharaj made their qualification. So because of that, they could also see the perfected souls, the four Kumaras. So again, the point is that when a person thinks himself to be the doer, because of that, when a person thinks, oh, I am qualified for this particular service, then when that privilege or that facility and that service is taken away, then when a person becomes disturbed. But actually, when a person is aware that our qualification is that we were given the qualification by a devotee of the Lord, then one will actually never be disturbed even when something is taken away. So Prabhupada is highlighting that particular point. So that is like indirectly connected to this particular purport. So to summarize, we talked about this particular quality of how Vasudev and Devaki, like forgiving Kamsa, how this they forgave Kamsa, who has actually performed so many atrocities towards them. And secondly, we talked about this particular point which Prabhupada highlights, that how the watchmen, they considered themselves to be the doer, they considered themselves to be the protector. So that is why they were bewildered when they thought that some stranger has entered the prison house. So we spoke from the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, and we spoke about few this quality of not considering himself to be the doer, how it is exhibited by Uttanupad, and how it is exhibited to the opposite side, how a person considers himself to be the Lord and Master by King Vena. And we talked about the qualities of Maharaj Gaya and Prithu Maharaj. So I'll stop here. Since I think it's 5 minutes late, I'll will not take any questions. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki chai.